This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than with any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials. The wheat market perked up in late trade. That still wasn't enough to help corn prices. For a market that hasn't been going anywhere, the corn market is starting to look like a market that is gearing up to go somewhere. And the path of least resistance may be to the downside.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with pro farmers, captains of cognition, editor Brian Grady, senior market analyst Jeff Wilson, and right after the news, Varsity Joe Vaklovic from Standard Grain weighs in. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, we haven't started yet. I'm not done with my part.
No, I'm asking producer Joe, go ahead and answer the phone.
Jeff Flory!
Hey, Davis! Woo. How are you, buddy?
I got to dive right in.
Okay.
I'm jumping it. Welcome to AgriTalk. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Whether you like it or not, the president of North Dakota Petroleum Marketers Association said he's happy Governor Doug Burgum signed a waiver of hours service for those who haul propane, gasoline, and diesel fuel chip. It's reached into North Dakota now with the hours of service waivers. And I'm looking at this article here posted on the web by Prairie Public News. It ends with a quote from Mr. Rudd, who they're talking about. He says, all of a sudden, the gas isn't getting delivered in a timely fashion. Now get this, and the diesel isn't getting delivered in a timely fashion. Sounds like up in North Dakota, they've got a diesel pinch now going too. And then this earlier, and I don't want to drag this on
what
too long.
Yeah.
From my source, he says X Transport isn't allowed any more LP from Des Moines after today. They have to go to Kansas. We're told Kansas has 5 days of product. Then they'll have to go to Texas to refill from the production facility directly.
Yeah. And
that's on propane.
Just a reminder to everybody, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit more at the end of the show, but it is not a shortage. It is gas that is just flat out of position.
Yep.
Now, does it feel like a shortage? Does it act like a shortage? Absolutely. But there's no shortage of LP in the United States. We just need to get it to where we need to have it.
That's exactly right. Distillate, and I haven't seen diesel come up before until I saw this from Prairie Public Media, but distillate supplies, while we see propane at the high end of the five-year average range, distillate supplies are the exact opposite situation and are at the very, very low end of the five-year average range.
Yeah, and again, we probably will talk about this a little bit more at the end of the show, but you might have to pull some technical strings or a governor may have to pull a technical string and declare some sort of an emergency.
Yes.
That would then require the pipelines to start pushing LP instead of other products at this time.
That's right.
It's either that or you got to put the margin into the LP shipments, and that's going to take a higher price.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yes.
And
all
I've
right,
seen
man.
No developments on that declaration, by the way. I'll keep you posted.
Very good. Very good. Corn slightly lower. Same story for soybeans. Soybean meal worked to the upside. Bean oil to the downside. Wheat came back in late trade. Live cattle cut losses and closed mixed today. Feeder cattle were lower, but off-session lows and lean hogs posted some solid gains today. All right, buddy, what's moving the markets?
I got to hustle here, but December SRW wheat futures yesterday posted an inside day with a low-range close, and today posted an inside day with a high-range close. Chart watchers say that suggests a whole lot more go-nowhere price action, but most also point out that selling interest dries up quickly on dips below 510 in front-month SRW futures. USDA says that as of November 3rd, 89% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was seeded. That's 1 point ahead of the five-year average pace. 57% of the crop is rated in good to excellent condition, also up a point on the week. Importantly, just 13% of the winter wheat crop is rated poor to very poor. December hard red futures, 5.5 cents higher, 428.5. December soft red futures jumped 5.5 cents to 515.25. Dease spring wheat firmed 1.75 cents to 526 even. Chip.
Yeah, rechecking the chart on that here real quick. Dease SRW wheat futures in the last couple of minutes of trade did push out above yesterday's high. So we do not have the inside day of an inside day, but this pattern is still very suggestive of more sideways price action.
Corn harvest now 52% complete, up 11 points from last week, but still 23 points behind the five-year average. North Dakota growers have harvested just 10% of the corn crop compared to a five-year average of 60% complete by November 3. All Midwest states are 2 to 3 weeks behind the normal harvest pace. After four consecutive lower closes, December corn futures are testing support at the month-long sideways trading range. Word that South Korea bought a cargo of corn from Ukraine overnight put the market on the defensive again today. December corn futures were 1.5 cents lower at 381.75. March corn off 1.75, 391.75. May corn closed at 398.5. That's down 2 cents on the day, Chip.
Yeah, North Dakota is a full month, maybe even 5 weeks behind the average harvest pace. It's ugly in the Dakotas and in areas of Minnesota as well.
Word that U.S. and Chinese trade negotiating teams are making significant progress toward rolling back existing tariffs on trade between the two countries raised optimism that a Phase 1 agreement will be signed sometime this month. Still, bean prices could not close higher for a fourth consecutive session. USDA says 75% of the bean crop is harvested. That's up 13 points from last week, but 12 points behind the five-year average pace. Also adding pressure to bean prices was a Brazilian weather forecast, which includes improved rain chances for most crop areas next week. November bean futures were 4 cents lower, 921.75. January beans fell 3.75 cents to 934.25. March beans closed at 934.25. That's down 4 cents, Chip.
All right, let's get to the livestock news when we come back. I do want to talk the cattle market with Joe Vaklevic from Standard Grain, though. But I know you watch this, what's going on in the livestock trade here, Joe. And that cattle market, geez, it felt a little iffy early in the session, but it rolled right back and closed well off session lows. This thing's looking pretty solid yet.
It's really a strong market, and it does feel like after a rally, of this magnitude that, you know, some sort of correction is inevitable, but we haven't seen it yet. I mean, that didn't look like the start of a correction today, although we closed some of the contracts lower. Still very, very positive price action.
No doubt about it. And here we've got corn set back down, and we are now at the bottom of that sideways trading range that we were in through the month of October. I don't know, Joe, what do we expect here? More of the same going forward?
Well, on one hand, I mean, we know that the demand for corn is not very good. On the other hand, I think the supply situation is still kind of a toss-up. It still feels like something's not right to me, and I don't want to, you know, be a USDA denier and tell you that they're totally wrong about everything, but the way that basis has acted, the way that the board has acted relative to past years with similar carryouts, it still acts really well, all things considered. Maybe that's because of late harvest, but I don't know. I still think we haven't heard the full story.
You know, Joe, we've been looking for the answers to this basis strength that we're seeing in corn for months in here, and I don't know anybody that's got a good handle on why basis is trading the way it is.
Well, you got your revision to last year's crop, and that didn't really fix the problem. It's not a problem. It's just odd for this time of year.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Joe, thanks, man. We will talk to you again next week.
Yeah, see you, Jeff. Bye.
You bet. That is Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain. Okay, when we come back, the guys from Pro Farmer, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady, Pro Farmer senior market analyst Jeff Wilson, right here on AgriTalk. Today I'm joined by Steve Gomm, corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta. Steve, we can all agree that saving money is great, but sometimes the appeal of saving money up front baits us into spending more in the long run and jeopardizing farm finances. How can growers avoid falling into that trap? And let's talk about it as it pertains to corn herbicides.
Sure. We've seen and we've had customers even tell us that paying a little more up front for a quality herbicide can save you money in the long run. And that seemed to be even more apparent during the tough season we just had, as you know. And everybody knows the most expensive herbicide you can buy is the one that doesn't work.
Yeah, Steve, what are some of the problems growers can run into if they skimp on their herbicides?
Yeah, there's both short-term and long-term issues. Short-term, you can have shorter residual control, which can cause weed escapes, and that can lead to more money being spent on other treatments or rescue treatments. And you get reduced yield with early season weeds competing with the crop for water, sunlight, and nutrients. And then longer-term, you can build up that seed bank, and you can also increase your chance of developing resistance, and these can really cost you down the road.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's a lot to consider, though. What corn herbicides do you recommend growers consider for 2020?
Yeah, good question, Chip. Only Acuron corn herbicide unlocks your full yield potential because it controls those tough weeds other products are missing. And when you see it used at pre-emergent application at full label rates, Acuron's going to help growers find 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than any other herbicide. So that means even though you're investing a little more up front, you're going to get that back plus some more at the end of the season.
What is it about Acuron, Steve, that makes it have such a positive impact on yield?
Well, it starts with the unique active ingredient, bicyclopyrone, which when combined with the other three active ingredients, it just delivers a higher level of weed control and more often. Yeah. And better weed control leads to higher yield potential.
Right. Very cool. Thank you so much, Steve. That was Steve Gomm, corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta, talking to us about how it's worth spending a little more up front on an effective corn herbicide like Acuron. Just a reminder to always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted use pesticide.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has four powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
AgriTalk.
Somebody had to say something.
Come on, Brian. Come on, Jeff.
Well, you want Wilson, do you?
Welcome back to Agri Talk. I'm Chip Flory. Come on, Davis.
Yeah.
That is Davis Michelson. Oh, thank you for joining us today. We've got a great lineup because it is Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson from Pro Farmer. Mm-hmm. Brian, welcome back. How you doing today, bud?
I'm all right, Chip. How are you?
Doing just dandy. Just dandy. And Jeff Wilson, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. Good deal. Okay. Let's do a preview, if we could here, guys, of what to expect in Friday's crop production and supply and demand report from USDA. And let's start with crop production, Jeff. I'm a little surprised that the average trade guess is down from the October yield estimate. Are you?
No.
Okay, why?
That's what we've been looking for. Just takes time. I mean, we still got 6.6 billion bushels of corn left to harvest out there as of last Sunday. I mean, how are you supposed to know what the size of this crop is when you have that much left? And, you know, sure, we've had the talk of my yields are a little better than expected, which I hate. I mean, what does that really tell you? Nothing. The crop is, the yields are definitely down from a year ago, and it's going to take a while. It may take all the way to the January report before we really know what the size of the crop is. So down 175 maybe this month, and then in January we get another little cut in terms of the size of the crop once it's finally all harvested.
Okay. Brian, the reason that I'm a little surprised by it is because with these USDA crop reports and yield estimates, 1 month does make a trend, and they were up 0.2 bushel last month from September. We might be bucking the trend here if we do set back on yields.
Yeah, you could say that, I suppose. I think ultimately that we will see a lower yield and potentially significantly lower. Harvest loss is going to be greater this year just given the rough conditions. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Acreage likely to be cut at some point in time, whether it's this month or whenever. But really, I don't think that the impacts from this year's growing season on the crop won't be felt until probably sometime months down the road when it shows up on the usage side of things.
Right. Now, Joe Vaclavic referenced a crop adjustment in the last segment. That was to soybeans. Corn, we didn't get the crop adjustment because they don't adjust the previous year's crop. It's accounted for in the feed and residual category in the supply and demand table on the usage side. doggone. Last year, yields are coming in below a year ago. Yields from last year evidently weren't as good as what USDA has in there right now. So if we're looking at a percentage decline, we're probably looking at a percentage decline from a 175, not a 177 or whatever the number was from a year ago, right? Brian, am I thinking about this right?
Yeah, you're going to get a higher residual use number. I think that almost assuredly this year. That's just kind of how things work in these types of years. Going back a little bit to what you said, Lance Honig did say that they may start revising the corn crop in September. So that would be in September of 2020 where that may start to happen again. But historically, you're correct in your statement that very few times, I think it's two times or so over the past 30 years where they've made an adjustment to the corn crop. Almost yearly, they make an adjustment to the soybean crop.
Right. Just the simple fact that Lance is talking about that is pretty much confirmation that they overestimated last year's corn crop.
And it's a precursor that, in September 2020, we are probably going to make an adjustment to this year's crop.
Yep. I don't think there's any question about that. Okay, Jeff, so slight reduction, we'll say, on the supply side of the balance sheet. What about on the demand side of the balance sheet? They've already cut the heck out of corn exports, took 150 million bushels out of it last month, I think, down to 1.9 billion bushels. Are they going to cut it even further?
It would not be surprising if they did. Yeah. unfortunately. Exports have just, they're terrible. They're pathetic. They're paltry, whatever you want to call them. They just, I mean, today South Korea is buying Ukraine corn again. So it's, we're not competitive on the world market. And, you know, until that improves, the situation remains the same. We're the supplier of last resort on the world market. You know, you look at the grain inspections yesterday as of the end of October, and that would imply we're like 130 million bushels behind the pace to reach that 1.9 billion bushel target. Jeez. That's, you know, they could cut 25 or 50 million off the export number. I think they leave the ethanol use probably, or corn use for ethanol probably unchanged. And, you know, maybe we get a boost in that feed and residual number. But I doubt it. I mean, the numbers are there. I mean, we're producing record amounts of beef, pork, and poultry combined. It's, you know, it's amazing. And we're consuming it, and we're exporting it. It's, you know, that's the one positive story we have going for the corn market right now, is we're going to walk this corn off the farm one way or the other.
Right, right. Okay, so you guys, are we thinking that lower supply could be offset by lower demand, leaving carryover basically unchanged?
I think there's a real risk of that. Ultimately, I think ending stocks will come in lower, but, you know, I can't rule it out, especially if USDA doesn't cut the corn crop as much as anticipated or at all. And if that, that would be a bearish surprise, obviously. And, but then I do think you run the risk that, that the ending stocks don't come down, much, if it ain't any at all.
Okay. Okay. Let's hop over to beans here, Jeff. The trend on the national average bean yield month to month from USDA is down. That trend is expected to continue into Friday's report, right?
Right, down another 0.3 bushels per acre, down to 46.6. That would take off about 40 million bushels off the October USDA estimate, take us down to about 3.5. 10 or 12, something like that. Okay. So you still got, you know, a big supply, but it's a lot smaller than we thought it was going to be two months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it, especially when you consider the drop in the beginning stocks as well. It's a smaller crop, Brian, but a smaller carry-in or beginning stocks to be offset by the demand side of the equation. Do you expect much change on demand for beans?
Probably not. I mean, I think they have some time at this point in time to let the trade issues play out. And how USDA does it with any type of policy thing is that it's assumed to continue on through the end of the marketing year indefinitely. So I think, you know, we're close enough on phase one of the trade deal, or it seems like we're close enough at this point in time, where they're probably not going to make huge changes, because then they won't have to adjust demand so sharply when something does get done. So I think that in all likelihood, you know, little change on the demand side this month.
Okay. Jeff, 460 million bushels was the carryover estimate for the 2019-20 marketing year for soybeans last month. What does that number need to be bullish this month?
Probably something less than 420, maybe closer to that 400 level would be, I think that would be the big number to watch. If you get a number around 400 million bushels, and we're going into the growing season in South America that has definitely not been an ideal start, that would be a bullish number and get the market headed back up towards the October highs.
Not ideal in South America, but they're not going to make any major changes to the Brazilian or Argentine crop estimates, are they?
Probably not this month. I can't imagine that they, you know, they're usually slow to react to global numbers anyway, so I don't anticipate. You know, just backtracking a little bit there, dramatic, absolutely unbelievable year-over-year change from what looked like it would be a billion bushels plus in 2018-19, and we ended up below that level because of the very strong finish to the year for demand, both crush and exports there, that old crop marketing year. And now we're talking about low 400s for this year, the 19-20 marketing year. And so huge year over year. So I don't know. I may disagree with Jeff just a little bit. I don't think it necessarily has to be that low of a number, below 420, to have a positive reaction in the market Friday.
Okay. All right. 20 seconds here, Jeff, so that we can get to livestock next. Any major changes expected on wheat, supply and demand?
No major changes. A few small cuts in a few countries and maybe a few increases, but overall very little change.
Gotcha. All right. We are talking with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady and Pro Farmer senior market analyst Jeff Wilson. And Davis, when we come back, we got to do the livestock news.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
For AgriTalk's Tech Talk, Pro Farmer senior economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at December high-grade copper futures today. As you know, the copper market is often seen as a harbinger of activity in the construction and manufacturing sectors in particular and in the broader economy in general. With that in mind, what's it doing with the equity markets reaching all-time highs? It's certainly far, far below its 2011 record over $4.50 a pound and well below its April high in the $3 area. However, these contracts seem to post a major bottom at $2.48 in September and has since been working higher. It topped short-term trend line resistance and its 40-day moving average in mid-October and bounced from a retest of underlying support last week. Indeed, it broke out to a three-month high today and topped 270. It sure acts like it's headed higher.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that, Dan. Thank you. That is Pro Farmer senior economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on AgWeb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you could join us today. We are talking with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady, senior market analyst Jeff Wilson from Pro Farmer. Before we get to that, let's recap how the grains closed, and let's hear a little bit of that livestock news, Davis.
Absolutely. Well, December hard red futures, 5.5 cents higher, 428.5. December soft red futures gained 5.5 to 515.25. December corn futures were 1.5 cents lower at 381.75. March slipped 1.75 to 391.75. November bean futures were 4 cents lower at 921.75. January beans fell 3.75 cents to 934.25. In your livestock news, the premium live cattle futures hold to the cash market pulled prices lower in early trade, but expectations for cash market strength helped futures trim those losses ahead of the close. December cattle 62.5 lower, 119.45. November feeders fell 122.5 to close at 147.85. And finally, on the snout side, pork cutout prices jumped more than $3 yesterday. Expectations of increased export demand from China helped lean hog futures push to the upside. December hogs 275 higher at 67.27.5, and Feb lean hogs gained $1.85 to close at 73.75. There you go, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Like I said, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady, Pro Farmer senior market analyst Jeff Wilson are our guests today. Guys, we've talked a lot about the old crop situation, 2019 crop situation, and what to expect on the supply and demand balance sheet. But Brian, there's a lot of talk, and there has been since this summer, about a big increase in corn acres for 2020. Even if we do get that one-month trend reversal in corn yields and take some away from the supply side, even if our demand numbers come in better than what we might be expecting right now, it could be a situation where the trade is so focused on 2020 already that it's going to be difficult to generate much upside momentum in this market.
Yeah, I think that that's my fear moving forward is by the time we realize exactly the size of this year's crop, we'll be well into the 2020, you know, planning for 2020 plantings. And you know, there's some pretty crazy numbers out there. USDA came out with its baseline number, 94.5 last Friday. And I think that that's probably on the low end of what most are thinking. You know, you can go back a couple months and guys were talking about 100 million acres of corn being planted next year. I think that's excessive, to be honest with you. I'm in that probably 95, 96 maybe range as we stand right now. That, you know, things can change through the winter months, obviously, but the corn soybean new crop price ratio definitely favors corn at the moment.
Yeah, Jeff, if that new crop, if the 2020 acreage scenario for corn changes, I don't think it's going to be domestically driven. It's probably going to be driven by what has been a less than ideal start to the planting season for that corn crop down in Brazil and Argentina, right?
Well, you got to remember, we got 20 million acres of prevent plant acres that got to come back in line next year. So it's not just corn that's going to go up.
Yeah,
the beans are going to go up. You know, last year this year we planted 76.5, and USDA's baseline said we're going to go to 84. So, you know, although that still would be down from 2 years ago when we planted 89. You know, I mean, there's still there's all those acres that did not get planted across the plains and parts of Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Ohio. So those acres are all going to come back or be intended to plant when we get the March intentions report.
Yeah, very good. It's you don't forget about those, but you kind of you've got to account for them on both ends. You're going to lose them in 1 year, but you're probably going to get them back in the next. Brian, what is the latest that you are hearing from Dr. Cordonier and others when it comes to that South American growing season? What are we looking at so far?
Well, we've probably clipped the top end off of some of the really high estimates that were out there initially. You know, just the weather's been very uneven here through, you know, since September when the planting season started, both in Argentina and Brazil. And they've gotten some better rains over the past 10 days or so in both of those areas, but both of the countries. But there are still areas in both of them that, you know, need more rains. And so we'll have to watch that moving forward. This is the rainy season in Brazil. So yeah, keep that in mind. And we've been well below normal, even with the rains over the past 10 days or so. So, you know, that's something to keep a watch on. I think the bigger risk is probably to the safrina or second corn crop down there than it is with soybeans. You know, late planting on soybeans doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be lower yielding, but what it does guarantee is that that second corn crop will be planted later. And, you know, if the rainy season typically starts to end about January, February time frame, so, right, you know, then you're talking about that crop pollinating and filling in what's traditionally the drier season.
Right. Right. Okay. Let's switch gears and get over to livestock here. Jeff, I got to ask you, you look at that cattle chart right now, and the last, you know, 7 weeks, 8 weeks has been unbelievable in that move to the upside. But I'm sitting here looking at a lean hog chart right now, and the fact that we have dumped record numbers of market hogs into the supply chain in how many consecutive weeks now? I mean, it's pretty remarkable. And the fact that this market is still holding above, you know, support at that $63 level, that's pretty impressive as well, isn't it?
Very impressive. I mean, it just tells you how strong overall domestic and export demand has been. I mean, even though we get all tied in knots about, you know, well, China only took, you know, 5,000 tons this week, and, you know, they bought 100,000 2 weeks ago. Just forget about it. The bottom line is the prices are still a lot better than they were a year ago, and we're producing record tonnage. And it's not just record tonnage of pork, it's record tonnage of beef, pork, and poultry. So something is going great. And, you know, we had one beef packing plant out since August, and, you know, we're killing the same number of cattle as we did a year ago. So, and the margins are great for both packers, beef and pork. So somebody's making a lot of money along the lines here, and all that tells you is that demand is fantastic for all cuts of meat, and exports are still going to drive the bottom line in terms of profitability going forward from this point.
Gotcha. Brian, it really is impressive, though, the way that this market has been able to absorb the supply that is coming in. And like Jeff was just talking about, we've got that Tyson plant out in Holcomb, Kansas, that is still down. Still down. That represented 5-6% of our daily slaughter on cattle. Those cattle are still being absorbed out there. When we finally get that plant back, that should be some increased demand for cattle, not for beef, but for cattle among the packers, because the margin is so good, right?
Right. The margin's good. We've redistributed those cattle that would have been going to Holcomb, and when Holcomb comes back online, then just means more competition for, you know, what is the last 2 months now, declining year-over-year supply in feedlots. So, you know, keep that in mind. Watch those feedlot numbers relative to a year ago moving forward. But like I said, the past 2 months, they've declined.
Yeah. Yeah. So the premium that the futures are holding to cash in the cattle market right now, do we stick with that format, that structure for a while here, guys?
I think so. As long as the funds are interested in the long side of the market and they have room to build their length there, then I think we will. Fundamentally, it's driven by exports. Exports have been very strong. And as long as we continue that march forward, you know, it was important getting some of the support back from the Mexican market. If we can get USMCA finalized and through Congress, that, you know, puts the dots the I, you know, yeah, so to speak, some of the other trade deals that we've got, you know, with Japan, South Korea, those types of things, that opens up key markets. Obviously, there we're talking three of the top four markets with those three countries. So I think that moving forward, the exports will continue strong, and that is the key driver right now in the cattle market, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Jeff, do you see any hedging needs in the livestock right now?
I don't. I would like to see cattle get up maybe towards the spring highs, and then let's see what we have to do and see, you know, by that time we should have some sense of the exact timing of that Tyson plant coming back online. But, you know, the market's pretty strong, and we're still well below what the highs we saw a year ago for the springtime. So I'm tentative on doing too much unless we get further rally in prices. And the pigs, I mean, you could come in here and you just look at the way it's been moving. I mean, the pigs have been trading like they drive. I mean, it's crazy. They just up, down, up, down, up, down. Yeah. You know, so it's like, yeah. You know, you could get into a short position and then you lose, you know, profitability. But, you know, the next time up, you got to consider some hedges, I would think. Hopefully we get this phase one deal done with the Chinese. We get the USMCA done and, you know, everything on the export side of the market's continuing to go. I mean, the thing is, this year we're looking for an increase in exports, but in 2020 we're looking for another billion more pounds of meat moved up. So it looks a very positive outlook.
Guys, thank you. Appreciate it. Brian, we'll talk to you again later.
All right.
Jeff Wilson, thank you, buddy.
Take care, Chip.
You bet. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady, Pro Farmer senior market analyst Jeff Wilson. Okay, when we come back, we'll see if there are any other updates on the propane situation up here in the Midwest. We'll take a look at the weather forecast on AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed.
Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
This is getting me a little fired up here.
Oh,
okay.
Great.
So Tyne Morgan,
yeah,
U.S. Farm Report.
She's fantastic.
Has got a couple of tweets out there, mm-hmm. And somebody from a competing media company, McGinnis,
yes,
tweets out there. I wrote about it Friday. You might find some helpful info here. Oh. We were talking about it on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
true.
And me, or even earlier than that. Hell, we were we had the goods on
yes.
Thursday when I was down at FFA.
Mm-hmm. That's
what
exactly
these
right.
guys, what Tyne is talking about, is the reason for the shortage. All these other jokers reported earlier this week or on Friday. Was that there's a shortage.
Mm-hmm.
Tyne's got the reason. And
yes.
the reason is that the pipelines are shipping other products that are generating a higher margin for the energy companies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these go, well, we talked about it on Friday. They're riding Tyne's coattails today.
Well, and I got to tell you, I'm going to toot the inputs monitor's horn here. If I'm going
yeah.
back through the archives of last week,
yeah,
the article, the headline screams, propane availability becomes a concern. Would you care to guess what day that was? That was Thursday, October
yeah.
31st. We
yeah.
were talking about this last month.
Well, that was last week.
Well, it was also last month. I mean, come on. I mean, we are word guys. Let's use words to our advantage, right, at every occasion. Come on! A month ago.
This kind of stuff just makes me
well,
crazy.
And here's the thing, man. The story just is kind of unwrapping, you know, as the days go on here.
The story is unwrapped.
We're still waiting on news whether or not the situation is life-threatening, according to Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, which would allow propane supplies to be redirected up that pipeline.
That is a technicality. I mean,
it is. It's one
you know,
we would just assume she'd use. We
sure.
could use it.
Go ahead and do it. Go
yeah.
ahead and pull the trigger on the life-threatening shortage of LP, and that will get product moving again. As I understand it, it will help to get product moving again. The reality of the situation
yeah.
is, you know, well, hey. For some residents, with as tight as it is, sure, you know, a average house is going to use, just call it 1,000 gallons.
Sure.
From October 1 to April 15 or something like that here in the in the upper Midwest, the guys running corn dryers could use, gosh, five times that in a week.
Quickly, yes.
In a week, okay? So we need to get... We've only got like half of the corn crop harvested. Iowa's sitting here at 40% harvested. There's still 60% of the crop out there in the field. And I'll guarantee the, well, I shouldn't say that. I would assume strongly that the corn that is out in the field right now needs fire more than the 40% that's already been harvested in Iowa.
I'd buy that. Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
So we are looking at, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Please, please correct me if I'm wrong on that. But the stuff that is still out in the field is going to be the latest planted, and it's going to need, it's more than likely still carrying more moisture than the earliest planted that had a fuller season to develop. So just,
And the other,
you got anything new on this?
Nothing new, and I've been looking real close here. Hello, America. Thank you for tuning in. If you have a tale to tell about this, hit our Twitter at AgriTalk or hashtag at AgriTalk, whatever you want to do. But I'm curious about this little bit, this one word in the North Dakota story about them declaring hours of service waivers. And the very last line, and the diesel isn't getting delivered in a timely fashion.
Right.
Now, in a
right.
state that's what did they put it at? 10% complete on corn harvest? As of the most recent week, North Dakota?
North Dakota.
For that state, they're going to need some diesel. For Pete's sake, I'd love to hear about that, too. Some of our best information comes from listeners, comes from subscribers and readers. Help me out here. Help us all get our heads around this. If you're hearing about diesel delays now, We gotta know.
I don't know what was going on with my Twitter machine earlier, but it seems like it was on some sort of a delay because I just got some tweets that are now a half hour old. At Justin Fastard says, hearing a lot of 100 to 150 bushel corn for the June planted stuff in my area. That is Northwest Iowa. At AE Pork, it's getting too late for it now, but doggone it, he asked what our number was for a Twitterless uncle. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. And at Hawkeye Hamer, you better lay off of that gauge. Every time you tap it, it goes down.
I saw that too.
Yeah, his tank volume is sitting at 5% on the LP gas. Wow. Tough. Okay, real quick, National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook. This is for November 11th through the 15th. No question that it is below normal temperatures in the outlook. Just got this from a buddy. He says, I can burn through 450 gallon of LP a day. I'm just a little guy. So we need to keep that in mind. Both the 8 to 14 and the 6 to 10 day have got below normal temperatures and below normal precipitation for the heart of the Corn Belt.
You know
what
I'm thinking?
Yeah. Well, what?
It might be farm kid making weather.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
Tweet of the day. Tweet of the day. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Rural Realities. If every crossroads could mean a horrible, tragic wreck, you're either at Talladega or in farm country. And now today's tweets, at Hawkeye Hamer himself, I think if after November 1st there's still corn standing at a gravel road intersection, the first combine to get there should be able to take 24 rows off before someone blows another intersection.
Yes, I'm all for that.
Yes, and I've got just one more. At Goddess of Grain, a group of women in a hair salon have nothing on a group of truckers and dump pit guys at harvest time, dudes.
Love it. All right, thanks for listening today. For Davis and for producer Joe Stackler, join us again tomorrow. We've got a Farmer Forum with Brad and Jed, and tomorrow afternoon, Brian Split.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.